You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Wednesday, August 19, 2020. What you see is not what you get. Bakken gas production rebounds. But will it last? Published by Sheetal Nasta. Bakken Associated gas production volume, after falling to its lowest levels in 3 years in early May and remaining depressed through June, has surged by 500 million cubic feet per day, or about 45%, in the past month and a half to 1.7 BCF per day. However, the gains have occurred in the absence of a meaningful change in rig counts or well completion activity, which remains sluggish. Similar to the Permian, the Bakken production recovery has been almost entirely driven by existing wells returning to service after being shut in earlier this year in response to the oil price collapse. With little in the way of new drilling and completion activity, how long will it be before natural declines of existing wells begin to take a toll on Bakken output? Today, we examine prospects for continued strength in Bakken gas production volumes. Gas pipeline flow data over the past couple of months has provided the first indications that the bulk of the U.S. oil wells that were shut in this past spring have returned to service and that production volumes are rebounding. The data also provides a glimpse of what likely will follow the rebound in most basins, a gradual contraction in production output measured by the natural decline rates of existing wells, particularly given that producers' capital spending budget cuts have slowed new drilling and well completion activity to a crawl. We discussed last month in Gimme Some Truth how these dynamics have unfolded in the Permian, from the sharp drop in associated gas output in early May as the basin's producers shut in some crude-focused wells in response to low crude prices and storage constraints, to the near-vertical rebound in gas production in late June, as U.S. shut-ins, and on a global scale OPEC Plus cuts helped to work off some of the surplus in storage and crude prices recovered above $40 per barrel. And finally, the inevitable downturn in production as natural declines continue to wear down the strength of output from existing well. At the peak of the rebound in early July, Permian gas volumes hit a post-shut-in high of 11.7 BCF per day, up from an average 10.5 BCF per day during the worst of the shut-ins, but not quite back to pre-shut-in highs near 12 BCF per day, and that continued a slow slide from there. See the weekly Nat Gas Permian and Crude Oil Permian reports for the latest. As we concluded in the July blog, the Permian gas supply rebound and subsequent downturn provided a window into what we would expect to happen in other oil-focused basins where producer activity has waned. Next, we turn our attention to the Bakken, where a similar trend is playing out, albeit with some differences. As prices fell, Bakken rig counts declined even more precipitously than in the Permian, down 80% from where they started the year, to just 11 rigs operating now, half of which are in McKenzie County, North Dakota. When we last looked at Bakken production in mid-May, see our blog called Closing Time, while shut-ins were already in effect. Using data from the North Dakota Industrial Commission's, or NDIC, Oil and Gas Division, RBN calculates that in a typical month prior to the meltdown, there were about 15,700 wells producing oil. Each month, about 2.5% of wells stopped producing for one reason or another. Meanwhile, about 2% of wells that had stopped producing start up again, for a net loss of about 0.5% of producing wells per month, not counting new wells producing for the first time, which, in most previous months, more than made up for the difference. In May of this year, the percentage of wells going offline surged to 21% and, between April and June, about 4,600 wells were shut in beyond the normal rate. The latest data for June indicates a partial recovery in the well count when about one-third of those, 1,500 over and above the normal rate, started producing once more, bringing the total producing well count to 12,600. North Dakota state data pegged oil production in February at 1.4 million barrels per day, but as shut-ins peaked in May, volumes fell to 862,000 barrels per day that month and remained just under 900,000 barrels per day in June, again the latest month of data available. As crude production rebounded, so did associated gas production, up slightly to 1.9 BCF per day in June. What's happened since June is trickier, given that state data is lagged. But daily gas pipeline flow data suggests that the rebound has continued through July and August to date, and, in fact, that most shut-in wells are now back online. Total gas production flows were approaching 2 BCF per day in March but abruptly plunged below 1.2 BCF per day in early May as shut-ins escalated, and production mostly lingered at that lower level through much of June. Starting in late June, though, supply volumes began to surge and reached 1.5 BCF per day by mid-June and 1.7 BCF per day in recent days, back to 85% of pre-shut-in levels. The difference between the gas volumes is caused by flaring and shrinkage due to gas processing. When NGLs are extracted in a processing plant, the volume of gas remaining is naturally going to be less than the original. Interestingly, excess gas flaring, which has long been a problem for Bakken producers, has fallen to just 11% of total gas as a result of shut-in. One might have expected a more dramatic decline in flaring, but, despite more processing and pipeline capacity being open overall, our understanding is that a number of localized gathering and processing constraints developed as a result of lower production. For example, some gas processing plants had to shut down due to low utilization rates. We've heard that as production output has increased, gas plants that previously had to go offline due to low utilization were able to ramp back up in those localized gathering and processing constraints are largely resolved. We should also note here the other potential curveball in the Bakken this spring: Northern Border Pipelines, or NBPL, proposed limit on the BTU's content of the gas stream entering the pipeline from the Bakken. NBPL was originally targeting a June 1, 2020, effective date for the limit. See closing time for more on the original proposal. North Dakota gas producers and marketers, concerned that gathering or processing infrastructure would be insufficient to meet the new requirement, pushed back. Trying to come up with a solution, NBPL proposed pairing counterparties to blend their gas in order to achieve the desired BTU's content. However, the accounting mechanism to enforce it became a point of major contention. Following a technical conference on the issue, NBPL was asked to revise the tariff to address concerns. NBPL has since filed the revised tariff with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, but the debate is likely far from resolved. The shut-ins and reduced production levels made this a non-issue this spring and summer because of the reduced proportion of high BTUs Bakken gas versus drier gas coming in from Canada. But it's something the industry will be watching closely, given that it could have significant implications when production does recover. Getting back to what the Bakken gas flows imply about oil production, we know that, like in the Permian, most Bakken gas is associated with oil production, and therefore the volumes between the two commodities are closely correlated. Thus, we can presume that oil production also has rebounded to a large extent. Importantly, though, the production gains have occurred despite the rig count hovering near decade-long lows at around 10 to 11 rigs since late June, meaning the uptick is not from newly drilled and completed wells. Rather, it has to be almost entirely due to shut-in wells returning to service. The North Dakota Pipeline Authority, or NDPA, confirmed as much in a presentation last week, saying that it believed the statewide shut-ins were largely over, at least from a volumetric perspective. Our understanding is that while some shut-in wells have not returned to service, the biggest contributing wells to overall production are back online now. Moreover, NDPA estimates that oil production in the first half of August is back up to about 1.3 million barrels per day, based on a number of indicators. There are two main takeaways from these production trends. One is that if formerly shut-in wells largely drove the recent production surge and most shut-in wells are now already back online, then further upside to Bakken production is likely limited. And what follows then is that, without an increase in drilling and completions, the natural declines of existing wells will begin to take a toll on production output, leading volumes gradually lower again. These natural or base declines already have taken effect, but the shut-ins first exaggerated that base decline rate this spring, and the return of those previously shut wells is now masking it. The Bakken is sensitive to base declines because, in contrast to the Permian, it has a higher proportion of newer wells, as opposed to legacy wells that have shallow, steady decline rates and provide a baseline level of production. Those wells drilled within the past several years tend to be highly productive but experience the steep decline rates typical of newer shale wells. You might want to take a look at Figure 3 in our blog on the website today, which illustrates the net effect on the Bakken's residue gas production of the base decline rates of wells that first began producing prior to January 2015 versus those that began producing in or after January 2015. The newer wells have clearly been the biggest contributors to total production growth in recent years. As shut-ins happened and then subsided, total Bakken gas production dropped sharply and then rebounded, but not to the level it had been before the shut-ins. Nor do we expect it to return to that level. With shut-in wells mostly back online and little in the way of new production, the difference between the pre- and post-shut-in levels reflects the impact of natural declines on overall production levels that would have occurred, even without shut-ins. And, without a meaningful change in drilling and completion activity, natural declines would continue chipping away at total production. There are currently 11 rigs operating in the play, which could bring on about 23 wells in a month, assuming all drilled wells are completed, not nearly enough to sustain current production levels. at a $40 per barrel WTI oil price. However, we expect that some rigs will begin to return and completion activity will increase somewhat from current levels, with volumes peaking in the next month or so and still declining through 2020 and early 2021, but much more gradually, before flattening near 1.6 BCF per day by mid-2021. What You See Is What You Get was written and produced by Tony Hester. It appears as the fourth song on the Dramatics' debut album of the same name. Released as a single in June 1971, the song went to number 3 on the Billboard R&B Singles Chart, and number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart. The title of the single was based on a phrase that comedian Flip Wilson used when playing his Geraldine Jones television character on The Flip Wilson Show. Personnel on the record were Ron Banks on vocals, Willie Ford on vocals, William Wee G. Howard on vocals, Larry Squirrel Demps on vocals, and Albert Wilkins on vocals. The album What You See Is What You Get was released in June 1971. All of the songs were written by producer Tony Hester, with the exception of In the Rain, which was co-written with Clint Ballard Jr. The album went to number 5 on the Billboard Top R&B chart, and number 20 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. Three charting singles were released from the album. The Dramatics are an American soul music vocal group formed in Detroit in 1964 by Ron Banks, Larry Demps, Rod Davis, Albert Wilkins, and Larry Reed. The group released a series of singles before inking a contract with Stax Volt Records in 1968. They released their debut album with Stax Volt after striking a production deal with Tony Hester. The Dramatics have released 20 studio albums, 2 live albums, 8 compilation albums, and 50 singles. They are members of the National Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame. 20 members had passed through the ranks of the Dramatics since their formation. Original member Ron Banks still leads a touring group of the Dramatics, with all current touring plans on hold due to COVID.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.